Here this morning, in the way of announcements, all department heads, we are trying to do a property and equipment inventory. There is some sheets in the office, if you'll get them and fill them out, so that we are trying to identify all of our property so we'll know what we've got. So each department head, if you'll get in there and get your sheet, or a couple, whatever it's going to take, and inventory. We want to try and get it done as soon as possible so we can get everything identified and tagged so that we'll know what we've got and where it's at. It's mainly so we'll know what property we've got, because right now I don't think anybody can tell us exactly what we've got of any one thing. But it also helps for insurance purposes in case something happens, and God forbid there is a fire and we go to the insurance company, they're going to want to know, then it's better to have it listed rather than to guess at what we have. That way it just makes it easier for everybody. So please do that. And we would like to have it done by the 19th of May. But if you can do it before that, that's fine. Turn it in to Brenda Ferraro. Or you can leave it in the office back there. Or you can leave it up here so that we can get it compiled and a list made up and get tags made up so we can tag everything. Also, excuse me, up here in the front, which Laverne pointed out, there is a page, a sheet up here, anybody that has a key to the building. And I think I know who most of you are because I gave them out, but we need to, if you have a key, you need to come up here and fill the sheet out so we'll know exactly who's got keys. And if you've got more than one key, because there's a key that opens the doors, and then there's a key that opens that door that goes upstairs. So if you've got more than one key, list down what keys you've got. And the keys, I believe, have got numbers on them. They should. If it's got a serial number on it, put down what serial number you've got so we can identify who's got keys and everything. And that way we'll just know who's got what. Does that make sense? Anybody got any questions about it? Right. Right. So if you got, like I say, if you got more than one key, you list down all the keys you got, and then we'll decide whether they work or not. You know, you may have a key that doesn't open anything. So, but anyway, that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to get a little more organized in the way that we've got some things around here. Birthdays. Miss Alexis got a birthday. She's turning 11. All right. Getting to be an old lady, huh? And I know she is. Laverne's got a birthday, so I'll let that go. And Charles Williams has got a birthday. So happy birthday to you all. Anybody, did I miss anything? Oh, the reports are on the back. Please pick one up on your way out so that you can go over it. Make sure you've got everything understood. So that you can read what the council talked about in our council meeting. That will be discussed and voted on next week in our business meeting. So please take a copy of it, read it, get yourself prepared so that you'll know what's going on next week. Right after services next week, we will have our conference, which hopefully won't last long. May the 12th is Mother's Day. And then again, turn in that inventory in. And I think that's it. Yes. I would say, but I didn't get to come, so anyway. But anyway, thank you. Thank you all very much. Let's take a moment to go to the Lord. Our Father God, we come this morning, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for the health that we have. Lord, we thank you for the ability that we have to just get up. And Lord, there's no better place that we need to be than in your house when the time is right. Today is Sunday. It is the day that we're here to worship you. It's a day of rest. It's a day that the only thing we should think about today is worshiping you, God, and letting you know how much we love you, how much we care about you, and, Lord, how much you care about us. Lord, as we lift up our voice in song, we want to praise you for all that you give to us, all that you do for us each and every day. You're so gracious, so loving, so caring. We pray, God, for those that are on our prayer list. We have many who are sick. We ask you, God, to be with them, to hold them close to you, and to heal their bodies. For For God, those that have traveled, as always, Lord, we ask you to give them mercy and get them where they're going in return. And Lord, for those that have lost loved ones this week, we pray, God, that you would hold those families close to you. Lord, that you would just be with them and wipe away the tears as they come. We pray for our country, God. We pray for our leaders. We are in dire need of you back in our country, God. We tried to take you out of everything, Lord, and we're reaping the whirlwind that we have set by removing you from all of the places that you need to be. We pray also, God, for our first responders, our service members, wherever they are. We ask you to watch over them, protect them, keep them safe. And Lord God, we ask a special prayer for your people in Israel today, God. We ask that you would just be with them, that you would protect them and keep them safe. And Lord, we pray for those that are the aggressors, those, Lord, that have turned their back on you, God. We pray that you would just be with them. Lord, we ask again now as we go into your service that you would begin now to move among us, that your spirit would touch our hearts, that we would hear your message, Lord, and apply it to our lives so that, God, we can be the servants and the Christians we need to be for you. As always, we give you honor and glory for everything that's said and done. And we ask it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Service this morning, folks. Before we get started, I want to sing happy birthday to Miss Lexi. And can I sing happy birthday to Laverne too? Sing happy birthday to Laverne. Okay, everybody, y'all ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lexi Laverne. Happy birthday to you.
And both of them are hiding their eyes.
And I'm sure Laverne will say she's somewhere in between the ages of 40 and 80.
Right.
Right. Well. I mean, that's hard to guess. It ain't. Uh-oh. That's going to be a long ride home. Okay, hymn 492.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my love was crucified. Lie to me, bear my burden, soul, and liberty.
Faith Choir, what number are we singing next?
493.
And this will be our offertory hymn, 493. Y'all stand and sing. Sing. Glory to his name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to his name. Number four. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to his name.
I can be seated.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
see, since Jesus came into my heart, 503.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. since Jesus came into my heart. Words of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Hearts of joy, oh my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy, as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Seated. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about Jesus coming back. I don't know if you heard, but 2 weeks ago, you know, it was talking about the eclipse, has references to the Bible, and we'll see signs and stuff about that. And I tell you, we see signs every day. And we need to pay attention to those signs. But I do believe God's coming back, and I believe he's coming back very soon.
High upon a mountain where he ascended, an angel of the Lord declared that it would be. He said, don't stand there grieving for the one that you see leaving. In like manner, he's coming back for you and me. And I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe that the trumpet's gonna sound so loud. One day it'll wake up the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he'll split the eastern sky. And I believe he's coming back like he said.
You can dance if you want to, even though he's dead.
I believe the time is nearing. We'll soon see his appearing. This could be the hour. Oh, this could be the day. When the saints from every nation will lose their gravitation and be caught up in the middle of the air, be called away. And I believe he's coming back like he said. And I believe that the trumpet's gonna sound so loud. One day it'll wake up the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he'll split the eastern sky. And I believe he's coming back like he said. And I believe he's coming back like he said. One day the trumpet's gonna sound so loud. One day it'll wake up dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he's gonna split that eastern sky. And I believe he's coming back like he said. And I believe he's coming back like he said.
I wonder what happened. I thought you had to go to the well to draw the water. Well, good morning. I'm glad to have all of y'all here this morning. And I, like Jeff, think it's not going to be very much longer. Of course, no man knows the day. No man knows the hour. That is strictly up to God. But we are called to be prepared. If you would, take a turn with me in your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 2. Last week, we talked about the first five verses, and we talked about preaching and what preaching is. Today, we're going to pick up in verse 6. We're going to read through 13. And what I want to ask you this morning, I know we're all smart people, but I want to ask you, whose wisdom do you have this morning? So, 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, chapter 2, verse 6. I get it right. Give everybody a minute to get there. Chapter 2, verse 6, in 1 Corinthians, this is what Paul had to say. He said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." Now we're going to stop right there because the last three verses we want to preach next week because they're very important. But we know that Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, but you know, if Paul were to come back today, he could be preaching this message to the churches of the world, the churches that profess to be Christian, the churches that profess Jesus Christ as our Lord. And the reason is because of pride. Pride is one of the greatest causes of division in churches today. And the reason I say that is because the Bible says pride is a serious offense and tends to categorize people and downgrade them. affecting their initiative and growth, it can eventually doom a person or a whole class of people to slavery. Pride, arrogance, superiority, thinking too highly of oneself, no form or shape of self-centeredness has any part in God's church. Yet an intellectual pride had become deeply rooted in the Corinthian church, just as it is in our churches today. And pride, the wisdom of the world, was about to rip the church apart, just as today. You know, today we have a lot of what we call learned people. We have a lot of educated pastors, and I'm not saying anything against education, because education is always good. But sometimes education can make us dumb, because we start depending on the things of this world that we learn, and the problem is we don't begin to understand really anything of the world. Now, you can talk to scientists, or you can talk to people about the weather, and they can explain to you about the current this and the current that, and how this does this, and the atmospheric up here, and this down here, and this causes this, and that causes that, but they still can't predict anything. Because one day they'll tell you there's a 100% chance of rain, and it doesn't rain at all. And the next day they'll tell you that it's not going to rain at all, and we'll have a downpour. Because they don't control anything. They're going by the wisdom of the world. God's wisdom is only for those who seek to be perfect before God. Paul clearly says that he spoke wisdom among them who are perfect. Now, by perfect, he means those who are concerned about being perfect and acceptable to God, about being destined to perfection in heaven. Are we striving to be perfect for God? Or are we striving to be perfect for ourselves? If we do, we're always going to fail. The word perfect means finished and complete. It means fully developed, growth and maturity. It means to reach one's end. The person who longs for heaven and seeks to reach his end by being perfect before God is a person who focuses life upon the wisdom of God. He is the only person who is interested in God and his wisdom. He is the person who speaks, proclaims, and talks about the wisdom of God. Because that's what we're called to do. If you are a born-again believer, we are called to worship God not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but every day. And we are to proclaim that wisdom to the world. Because whether you realize it or not, men of this world have little, if any, interest in God and his wisdom. Their desire is to live and walk as they please, not to live and walk in the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is foolishness to them that perish, but to us who seek to be perfect, the saved, it is the power of God. When we talk to the world about God, and we talk to them about Jesus Christ, and we talk to them about the things that he has done, the things that he does each and every day, the world looks at us as being foolish. They think we are naive because we believe in creation. They think we are naive because we believe the world is only 6 or 7,000 years old, not 6 billion years old, as they proclaim. And their philosophy is that the things that have happened in this world could not have happened in as short a period of time as we say they have. But, again, who controls time? The world doesn't. The Bible says a day is as 10,000 years, and 10,000 years is a day to God. God is the creator of time. And it is up to him how old or how young this earth is going to be. It's up to him how things work in this world. It was up to him as to what became extinct and what hasn't become extinct. So we need to understand that when we talk to the world or talk to people of the world, they don't understand the wisdom. The word princes refers to all the leaders of the world, rulers, scientists, philosophers, educators, judges, executives, and religions. It refers to anyone with influence, anyone who thinks about the world and life and who draws serious conclusions about the purpose, meaning, and significance of life. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Why am I here?" And people throughout eternity or throughout time have tried to answer that one question. Why are you here? And they come up with all these different answers. Well, I'm here to do this, and I'm here to do that, and I'm here to be this, and I'm here to be that. Let me tell you, we are here for one reason, and that reason is to worship God. That's the only reason we're here. We were created in the image of God so that He would have believers who would walk with Him, who would fellowship with Him, and who would live with Him. Adam and Eve, when they were created perfect. They were put in a perfect place, and God walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and they talked. That's what God wanted. God wants us to fellowship with Him, to walk with Him, and to talk with Him every day. There is nobody here who is a parent who does not long for one thing. And that one thing is to hear from our kids. Would you agree? I mean, that's what we all talk about. I wish the kids called today. What'd they want? They just called. That ain't never going to happen, but you understand. And that's what parents say. Why don't the kids call? Wonder what's going on. And that's okay. We want the fellowship with our children, right? We want to hear from them. We want to talk to them. We want to know what's going on. Not because we're nosy, like they think, but because we're concerned about what's going on in their life, how things are going. Well, God is no different. God wants to hear from you every day. God wants to know what you're thinking. Now, I know you're going to say, "Preacher, God knows that." You're right, God does. But you know what? He still wants to hear from you. Don't you think your children love you? But don't you still want to hear from them? God wants us to walk with Him every day. God wants us to talk with Him every day. And if we don't have wisdom. What is the wisdom of the world and its princes? The world's wisdom includes many approaches to finding the truth and meaning of life. Many approaches to solve the terrible and devastating problems of evil and death in the world. A quick glance at the lifestyle, religions, philosophies, psychologies of life immediately show the wisdom of the world. However, the wisdom of the world and its leaders boil down to two primary positions. When man started talking about why am I here, what is my purpose, there's two things they came up with. The first, the wisdom of the world says there is no God, right? That's what we hear all the time. There is no God. We're God. He does not exist. Way back in time, as far as the mind can go, something, element, molecule, atom, or gas appeared. That's what we hear, right? The Big Bang Theory. It just happened. Well, if that's the case, where did it come from? If that's the case, by what force was it created? What caused the Big Bang? Well, I'll tell you what caused the Big Bang. God said, bang, and it happened. But yet we constantly go back and try and figure out how it happened, where it came from, and under what condition. You know, scientists say, well, this happens, and this happens, and this happens. But it only happens under certain conditions, and that's it. When I was a young soldier and joined the Army and went into the Signal Corps, we went through training out here at Fort Gordon, and they were teaching us radios, and they taught us in a classroom. And the radio would be on this side of the classroom, there'd be a radio on that side of the classroom, there'd be two little antennas up there, and they'd be shooting each other. And you'd go over here and you'd work on this radio a little bit, and it would talk with this radio over here. And I asked the instructors one day, I said, well, it works this way here, but here we're what? We're in a controlled environment. You're in a classroom. You're only 10 feet away from each other. There's no weather to affect it. There's no variables. And it's always going to work. So I asked him, I said, what happens when you get out in the field and you try to make it work? They said, well, it's supposed to work this way. I said, okay, it's supposed to work that way, but does it work that way? And you know what the answer is? No, it doesn't. Just like they said, this radio can only talk this far. Well, guess what? Under the right conditions and with the right manipulation, you can make it talk a lot farther than what it's supposed to talk. As long as everything is in a controlled environment, it works a certain way. But the problem is, there's only one who controls the environment, and that's God. And that's why scientists cannot figure out where we came from, because I didn't come from no tree. I didn't crawl out of no slime. I was created in the image of God. But scientists cannot accept that. According to the world, first something just happened out of nothing, and from that something, the worlds and the heavens and the earth with their forms and life evolved. Therefore, we find ourselves here upon earth alive, having survived the struggle. Our task is to do our best to conquer all the forces of evil and to build the best world we can. Man's destiny is in his own hand, and look at the mess we have made of it. If we had left it alone in the Garden of Eden and never fallen from grace, we would be perfect. But man, and I'm not Adam and Eve, I'm calling it man, but she wasn't a man, but Adam and Eve fell from grace, and ever since, man has been trying to conquer the world. Is there no evil in the world today? No, why not? We've had thousands of years to get rid of it. But yet, evil, you're right, evil is worse and worse now than it was back then. Have we gotten any smarter at how we can live forever? No. They can extend your life for a while, but only for so long. And I'll tell you the truth, they can't even extend it. God gives it and God takes it when God is ready. Secondly, the wisdom of the world says God may exist, but he may not exist. We can't know for sure. If he does exist, he is so distant and far away that men are left on their own. Our task is to conquer evil and negative forces of life through science, technology, education, and the religion of human effort. We are to use everything at our disposal and to do the very best we can to conquer nature, disease, suffering, corruption, and death. We are to live a life that is lawful and full as possible. If there happens to be a God, he would expect us to do this. God expects us to worship him, period. All these other things, by worshiping him, we get better control over the things we just talked about. There is evil in the world today because man does not accept who God is. Man does not have God in their life, or there would be no evil. Because as Christians, we what? We're taught to love. We're taught to be kind. We're taught to be considerate. We're taught to care. But those are not things that the world teaches. Now, they do all of those things depending on who you are, what your position is, and how much you can give back to somebody. But they don't care about that bum out there in the street because he can't help them. They don't try to make his life any better because he can't give them nothing in return. But we know by God that we can. And Paul was right. We hear the argument all the time. Is there a God or is there not a God? Well, if there is a God, then he expects us to be good people. But the Bible says what? None of us are good. None of us are good. As I've said before, we don't have to teach children how to be bad. We have to teach children how to be good. They know how to be bad. From the very beginning, they know how to be bad. They know how to be manipulative, right? They know all the things, how to wrap you around their finger, how to make you say things you shouldn't say. What you have to do is teach them how to be good so that you can be good. The word world means this age, this world that is passing on as fast as the wind, which is here and gone ever so quickly. The wisdom of the world and its leaders is here today and gone tomorrow. Man's idea that God and truth fade and pass away almost as quickly as man himself does. We come up with all these solutions. You know, when I was in service, and I was in there for 20 years, as some of you were, the one thing I noticed is the Army went in a big circle. Right? Shake your head. We started doing this and we said, this is what we're going to do. And then some general, some smart guy came up and said, we're not going to do it this way, we're going to do it this way. And I'm not making a reflection on all officers, because there are some good officers out there. I just want you to know that. So we did it that way. And then somebody else came up and said, well, you know what? That ain't a good idea. Let's do this. So we did this. And after a while, you know what they found out? None of those ideas worked. So they said, let's go back to the first idea. When I joined the Army, men and women trained separately. All right? It wasn't because the Army was sexist. It was because the Army realized one thing. Men and women are different. They have different abilities. They have different capabilities. They can do things different. Well, as I said before, somebody in their smart wisdom said, well, let's train men and women together. Well, guess what happened? They did. And it didn't make the women any better. You know what it did? It made the men worse. Now, I'm not saying that to be derogatory toward ladies. I just want you to understand. There are physical requirements that ladies just cannot do. Now, not all of them. There would be one out of every 900 that could. But what they did was, instead of trying to bring them to a standard, they tried to bring both of us, male and female, to the same standard. Well, the problem is, we're different. We're physically different. We look at things differently. We think differently. That's why God made man and woman. Right? They complement each other. What we don't think of, they do. What they can't do, we do. Right? That's how God made it. But again, somebody thought, well, now you know what the Army says? Well, that might not have been such a good idea. Well, gee, I wonder why. Because man is trying to use his own wisdom, the wisdom of the world. What is the wisdom of God? What is the wisdom preached by Paul? The wisdom that is to be spoken among those who are concerned with being perfect is the gospel of God, the good news concerning Christ and Him crucified. That's God's wisdom. How do you come by that? Well, you have to come by that one way, and that's through accepting who God is and who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary. Once you get that, then you have wisdom. Up until then, and take this the way I mean it, because we got a lot of smart people out there, you have no wisdom. Because wisdom is fear of God. Not fear of being afraid of who He is, but the respect that He deserves because of who he is and because of what he has done for you. The gospel shows, the gospel tells us how God went about reconciling the world to himself and how man is to be reconciled to God. The gospel shows how wise God has been dealing with man in this world. Therefore, the gospel of Christ and him crucified is the wisdom and mystery of God. It is the very wisdom which every man must possess if he wishes to know God and to live with God throughout eternity. You can be the smartest person in the world. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to hell. And you can know everything about heat and air. It ain't going to do you a bit of good. You can know everything about water and water purification. It ain't going to do you a bit of good. And you know why? Because there's nothing but heat and hell, and there's no water in hell. There's nothing but suffering and pain. The leaders of this world do not know the wisdom of God. They do not understand the origin of God and life, the nature of God and life, the underlying reason why life is as it is, the end or destiny of God and life. You notice what Paul said? Everything is about God and Christ. That's it. All the other things we do, doesn't matter. The world and its leaders are at a loss to understand where we have come from, why we are here, where we are going. No matter what they tell you, they can't tell you those three things. Now, I'll tell you who can. God's Word can tell you. God's Word can tell you where you came from. It can tell you what you need to be, and it can tell you where you're going to spend eternity. The same three questions that we've been trying to answer as man throughout history are going to be gone. The only one that knows those things is God, because he is the Creator. If the leaders had known the wisdom of God, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. He came to earth to save men, and he came not to save them for only 70 short years, but to save them eternally. That's why Christ came, so that you would have eternal life. He didn't come to save you just for the few years that you're here on this earth. And the Bible says 70 is a good life. Now we know there are a lot of people that make it a lot past 70, and some of us in here are there. I'm not, but some of us. But that's not why he came. He came so that we would have eternity with him. Yet the leaders rejected and crucified him. They would not have done had they known the wisdom of God. The leaders in the day of Christ rejected him. The rejection symbolizes exactly what most leaders have done and always will do: reject him. And as such, they stand guilty before God. People always ask me, "Well, preacher, what sin sends you to hell?" There's only one sin that sends you to hell. It's not smoking. It's not drinking. It's not cussing. It's not living a bad life. It's not this. It's not that. It's rejecting Jesus Christ. That is the sin that sends you to hell. Nothing else. You can be the best person in the world, or you can be the worst person in the world. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you've got the same destination: hell. All those things that I mentioned that were quote-unquote sins, once you accept Jesus Christ, guess what? He'll take them away from you. That bad person will become a good person. And that good person will become a better person. Because the Lord of glory will be in us. The leaders of this world have never seen nor heard the truth. The truth has never entered their heart. How do we know this? Because the truth of God is the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. The Bible doesn't say that everybody would know the truth of God. Everybody knows about God. I don't care who you are. You could be the worst, best atheist in the world. You know about God. When you talk to people, they know about God. Whether they believe in him or not, they know about God. But those who love him, he has given wisdom to. The truth and wisdom of God is the riches of his glory and grace, which he sent into the world through Christ, the most glorious wealth and benefits imaginable. But the wealth and gift of God are found only in Jesus Christ. People say, are you rich? Let me tell you something. If you're saved, a born-again believer, you're the wealthiest person in the world. You're more wealthy than Bill Gates. You're more wealthy than Soros. You're more wealthy than anybody. Because you have something that can never be taken away from you. And that's streets of gold, a promised mansion, a place in glory, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. And you know what? You can have all the money in the world, and you can't have that. You may have a big mansion. You may pave your driveway with gold. But where I'm going, everywhere we go, it's going to be like that. You're not going to have a rich section and a poor section. And I'm not taking anything about anything away from that song. What was it? I want a mansion, or I want a cabin in glory. The Bible doesn't say anything about a cabin. The Bible says a mansion. Now, of course, we think of mansions a certain way, but God thinks of it differently. But it don't matter, because what God's going to give us is the best. Because God only gives the best. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. That was the best. We are the richest people in the world. He came to the earth to reveal the truth about man and his world. What is that truth? Man and his world had been created in perfection, but man has corrupted himself and his world through sin, deception, lies, killing, and immorality. Therefore, man has to repent and turn back to God if he wishes to live with God. But note how man received the wisdom and truth of God. They rejected and crucified Christ. Their eyes have not seen or could not see the spiritual world. Their ears could not hear the spiritual truth. And their hearts could not conceive the spiritual truth, the glory of the things God has prepared for them that love him. Do you know the truth? Do you know the truth this morning? Mystery. The word mystery, a fact or truth that man is unable to discover by himself, a fact or truth that has to be revealed to man. It is a fact or truth that has been hidden and kept secret by God until it was time to be revealed. It does not mean something hard to understand or something strange and mysterious like a magical trick. It does not mean that there is something mysterious about God. It means some fact or truth that is known only by God, that God reveals to man because he loves man and man desperately needs to know the truth. There are several important mysteries revealed in the Bible. The mystery of the gospel, that God is wisdom, which is Christ crucified. The mystery of the kingdom of heaven. The mystery of Israel's blindness and restoration. The mystery of believers, restoration, which will enable them to live an incorruptible life with God. The mystery of God's will, that he is to gather together all and unify all things in Christ, unifying them in spirit, of peace, of harmony, of all things visible and invisible. The mystery of the church and of God's universal love, that both Jew and Gentile are included in the church. The mystery of the church, that the church is the bride and body of Christ. The mystery of the indwelling Christ, of Christ living in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of godliness, or of Christ, of God coming to earth in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, the mystery of iniquity and of the sin in the world and of man's disobedience to God, the mystery of the seven stars or local churches and pastors, the mystery of Babylon and the end times. God's wisdom is revealed only by God's Spirit. Jeff talked about what people are saying about the eclipse, and if you didn't hear the news yesterday, Israel is under attack again by Iran. Things are getting worse over there. They're not getting better. The United States is turning its back on Israel, although they say we're not. People say, I don't understand what's going on. Pick up God's Word and read it. It tells you exactly what's going on. It tells you what's going to go on. There's nothing in God's world that has word that has not been revealed to those who know God. Now, when you talk to the world out there, they throw their hands up, ring them, because they don't understand. They don't know what's going on. But the people of God do. They fear. They're afraid because they think we're going to have a third world war, or we're going to have this, or we're going to have that. Well, let me tell you something. We ain't going to have nothing except what God says we're going to have. And I saw something today or yesterday on Facebook or somewhere that was a very true statement. The United States is ignorant if it thinks that it is some big deal when the time comes for this earth to end. Now, I know we're a great country. I love living here. We have our faults. But when you go back and read Revelation, you know the one animal that's not discussed in the book of Revelation? The eagle. You know what the United States is represented by? The eagle. But you know it does talk about the bear. It talks about the tiger. It talks about the things that are happening in the Middle East right now. Because that's where things are going to happen. That's where things are going. Because that's what God predicted from the very beginning. This is clearly seen by the man who is both honest and thinking. No person knows what is really going on within a man except the man's own spirit. So it is with God. No one really knows God and the things of God except the Spirit of God. Therefore, the world does not know God nor the things of God, for they must be revealed. They cannot be seen, heard, or conceived by the heart of man. They are only revealed by God's Spirit. The one thing that man must always remember is this. He cannot penetrate the spiritual world. The Bible says there's battles going on that you and I have no concept of. Powers and principalities that are going on in the spiritual world that we couldn't even begin to imagine. We think we got problems. If we could see into the spiritual world, you would see what kind of problems we really have. God's wisdom. God and the things of God are revealed to believers. This is the very reason God has given His Spirit to believers, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Only the Holy Spirit knows the things of God. And only the man who receives Christ, who is born again by the Spirit of God, is quickened to understand spiritual things. Only the believer who minds spiritual things can understand the mature, deep things of God, the mind of God. The natural man, any man not reborn by the Spirit of God, cannot know the things of God. God's wisdom is a message taught by the Holy Spirit. The message, God's glorious wisdom and gospel, is not a message of man's wisdom. God's wisdom and the gospel is the message of God's Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit teaches the wisdom of the gospel of God. Note that the verses end with the word spiritual. There is no object. This means a glorious thing. The Holy Spirit combines spiritual things with spiritual things. He can combine spiritual things with spiritual people. The Holy Spirit guides and directs us, teaching us how to compare and combine spiritual things with spiritual things. We use the Word of God to interpret the Word of God. When we seek and read the instructions of God and do not understand something, we use other scripture references to help us understand. Scripture backs up scripture. That's why when you look at your Bible, if you've got a study Bible, you'll notice as you read your verses over on the right-hand side, there's other verses. And when you go look at that verse says this verse is right. And I don't know, but if you've ever looked at, done that for a little bit, you know what? You usually go through the whole Bible just about by the time you get through checking all the verses out. But Scripture backs up Scripture. Spiritual things are understood by spiritual people. Now next week we're going to talk about different spiritual people. whether you can eat meat or whether you're a babe and you need milk. I hope you like to eat meat. Now, I like drinking milk, believe me. You can ask my wife. We go through milk like crazy. I need a cow. But I like eating meat, too. And if I had my druthers, I'd rather eat meat. And that's how it is with the Word of God. The only way you're going to be able to eat meat in the Word of God is that you have got to, first of all, be saved. And you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm glad that you're here. I know your Sunday school teachers are glad that you come and you listen to them. And we talk about things. I'm glad you're here on Sunday night. I'm glad you're here on Wednesday when we discuss things and we go back and forth and we talk about things. And we learn a lot that way. But the deep things of God are taught to you by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says that when somebody gets up and starts speaking about Jesus Christ, and somebody gets up and starts preaching to you, they better be preaching out of the Word of God. Because if they're not, they're leading you astray. I saw somebody sent out on Facebook today, the one, two things God left out of the Bible is your opinion and my opinion. That word is God's opinion. And when it all boils down to it, guess what? That's the only opinion that matters. So let's close with this. I'll ask you again. What wisdom do you have? Have you got God's wisdom? Or have you got the world's wisdom? God's wisdom will lead you to heaven. The world's wisdom is going to lead you to hell. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at this morning? Let's close. Our Father God, we come this morning thanking you, first of all, for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are here this morning. Thank you, God, for your word. And Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for the fact that he went to Calvary for my sins, that he died there for me. And Lord, that by claiming him, I can know the spiritual things that you want me to know. I thank you, God, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if I would just listen, the Spirit will teach. And God, I know sometimes we're guilty of not listening. Sometimes we want to go our own way. Sometimes we think we know better. But God, the one thing that we have to come to realize is nobody knows more. Nobody knows better. Nobody cares more. Nobody loves more than God. He's proved it by sending his Son. He's proved it by letting his Spirit indwell each and every believer. He proves it every day by just taking care of us. Things that we take for granted, God, the ability that we have to get up, the ability that we even have to take a breath, is only because God loves us. Lord, you know every heart here this morning. You know what wisdom each and every one of us say that we have. And God, I pray if there's one here this morning that doesn't have the wisdom that comes knowing you only through your son, Jesus Christ, and I pray today would be the day that they receive that wisdom. And Lord, for those of us who claim that we know Christ and who lives in our heart, and God, I pray you would give us the wisdom to learn more and more about your word, to study it more, to learn more spiritual truth that you've promised to each and every one of us. God, to live better lives, to be better servants, because God, we're all called to be servants. Lord, help us to spread your word so that your kingdom can be enlarged. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for all those that are here. I thank you for all those that attend. And God, I pray that you would be with each and every one of us. You know what's going on in every life. You know what every need is. I pray, God, that you would meet them. Lord, help us to continue to be a church that preaches the truth, that teaches the wisdom of God. For it's in the name of your son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. Won't you stand? We'll sing a couple of verses.